At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
After 5 here on The Fan, Evan and Tiki, lot to do. Scott Boras met the media at the general manager meetings, had some interesting things to say about some of his clients that relate to us, like Pete Alonso and Cody Bellinger. We'll hear from him. And Brian Cashman is meeting the media down at the general manager meetings. We'll hear from him later on as well. This is what the GM meetings are, a bunch of talk. No actions, but a lot of talk. So we'll get to it all coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. But first, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. Okay, full disclosure, I'm beating over my head here with the Giants coaching stuff. I've had it. I've done Giants-related Cincos the last couple days. We got a lot of baseball stuff coming up. You just teased. So my Cinco is going to be a current events issue. So the list is going to build up to number one, which is a current event, which I feel needs to be commented on. So just work with me here, Evan. A little respite.
Okay.
So the Cinco is simply the five most overrated things in the world. Okay.
In the world.
Five most overrated things in the world. And work with me and we'll have a convo when we get to number one.
All right.
Here we go.
Number five.
Bacon. And I think I've had this take.
What?
The smell is always better than the taste. And I like bacon, but people talk about bacon like it's the end all be all.
Who the hell is cooking your bacon?
I cook my bacon.
Well, that's your problem then.
Take your hit on it. It's all about how the bacon is cooked.
I'm not saying I dislike bacon, but bacon is not the greatest food in the world the way people talk about it.
Yeah, I hear you.
The thing about bacon, you need it with something else.
Yes.
It's not an all-encompassing food. Like when it's with eggs, great.
I don't know,
on a burger, great.
The thick bacon that they serve at steakhouses.
Oh, the best.
That's awesome. Best.
But don't you need something else at the steakhouse? You can't just eat the bacon.
I mean, I could have a martini and bacon and be fine.
Wow. Martini and bacon?
All right.
I'd be puking. All right.
Number four.
Fishing. Not fly fishing, but anytime you go out on a boat fishing, and I've done this a million times in my life, I walk away bored to tears oftentimes.
Cosine.
Yeah.
There are things in life in which I respect that you're into it. Like golf. I respect that people are into it.
But at least you're doing something in golf.
Yeah, I don't get it. With that said, God bless you. Have a good time.
Fly fishing is great.
Fishing and golf are similar.
Yeah, you got the rubber boots, the pants on. Right. You're out there. You're looking up at mountains a lot
casting
of times.
Casting a fly. You're tending it. It's like a game you're playing with the fish.
The fisherman, because my dad's a fisherman. Nice weather, the beer aspect of it. You're out of the house. It's like golf. Get away from your family.
Here's the problem.
And the accomplishment of catching the fish.
The only thing he catches is a buzz.
Exactly, but I like doing that on the beach or the water anyway. I don't need the fishing part of it. It's boring. All right,
number three.
Number three on the most overrated things in the world, it's snow. And I sense it's coming. I sense it's going to be a bad winter. Me and Tiki are already in winter hats here. I'm freezing my ass off in November. And snow is pretty for like 9 hours, and then it looks like crap the moment it starts getting plowed and it's dirty.
You have more tolerance than me. It's pretty for like 2 hours, and then I'm done.
You know what's funny? I put 9 hours there because I knew he was going to push back on how beautiful it was.
Because he likes the cold.
I'm not even going to push back. I'm going to say that I vehemently disagree with both of you, and we can move on.
All right, me and Tiki.
Number two.
The number two most overrated thing in the world is any early season Giants win in the last decade. Because what the hell does it matter?
That's a good point. I mean, Chargers victory was awesome.
Yeah, great. And here we are just again.
Number one. It's not going to stop Sean from crying about it, though.
Yeah. All right. The number one most overrated thing in the world again came to pass last night. The Northern Lights. I am sure if you go to Iceland, they are beautiful.
Right.
Okay? But again, in case you lived under a rock last night, we were at the Nets game and I came out and saw everybody tweeting about it. The Northern Lights keep like being seen. We had this big phenomenon last year. And when I went out, I saw all these people in my neighborhood posting on Facebook last year. Look at how beautiful they were. I'm looking up at the sky. Same people living on my block. Where do you see these Northern Lights? And last night I saw the same thing. Where do you see these Northern Lights? And I was finally informed of something that drove me nuts last night.
Go ahead.
How do you see the Northern Lights in America? By pointing your phone up and taking a picture of the sky and then looking at the picture on your phone, that's how the Northern Lights appear.
So you can't actually see it.
Right. So why are you telling me to go out of my house if I'm just looking? I could look at a picture online about the Northern Lights. Why do I need to look at a picture on my phone? Stop promoting the Northern Lights like it's this great phenomenon when they're seen in America. Iceland, I'm sure if you can see with your own eyes, I'm sure it's gorgeous.
Right.
Get lost! Right. Stop reporting that it's out there. I don't care that I can see it on an iPhone.
Right. There's no light pollution in Iceland.
Right.
I think you're right. Like, if I was up in the northern hemisphere, the visual would be incredible.
Sure.
And I would love to go up and see that. I'm sure Tiki has many times
not,
in his life.
Actually, I have never seen the Northern Lights. Because when I went to Iceland, it was the midnight sun.
Ah, so it's the opposite.
So it was the complete opposite.
But that would be something gorgeous. But I kind of agree with you. As much as I love space and I love seeing stars and all this cool stuff, you're looking outside and you're pretending like you're seeing something cool. You're actually not seeing anything cool.
Yeah, you're just some charged particles from the sun.
Total get lost, but I had to get off to my chest. Northern Lights, stop reporting when they're out there. If we can't see them with our own two eyes, it's not worth it. Get lost. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you very much. There's Sean Morris, Cinco de 5-0 every day at 5 o'clock. We'll hear from Scott Boris in a few minutes. Let's hit some of your phone calls. Ken is in Flora Park. What's up, Ken?
Hey, guys. Great show. Great interview with Connor. I had a question about that. I was a little bit taken back by one thing he said. I mean, I was very happy that he's talking about the Giants looking for a guy who can, lead men, a leader of men. But I got bothered by the fact that he said it doesn't matter whether it comes from the pros or it comes from college. And I'm saying, for the love of God, not another first. I mean, the Giants once hired this guy. I don't know if you ever heard of Tom Coughlin. I mean, he went to back-to-back championship games with Jacksonville. I'm not saying that he grows on trees, but I just hope they don't go to the college ranks and say, another first-timer, geez.
Well, right. One of the guys who you've heard over the last 24 hours the Giants like is Marcus Freeman, the head coach of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to stereotype by saying, I don't want any college coach, because guys can make the jump and be successful. But I am worried about a college coach. With that said, I mean, Marcus Freeman, what he's done at Notre Dame is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. No, he's lasted for a while, and despite some bad losses over his tenure, he seems to continually produce a winner. But I do worry about it. College coaches don't have a lot of success, especially when they've only coached in college.
Rick is in Queens. Hey, Rick.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the call. Love the show. A couple of quick things, if you let me.
Yeah.
One, I love the fact that that Winston's playing this weekend. Mm-hmm. This should be very, very enjoyable to watch.
Right.
I do have a suggestion that I haven't heard much as far as for head coach and a couple other things as far as I think Mike McDaniel's going to get let go in Miami. I think he'd be a nice fit with Frank Reich, believe it or not, as an offensive coordinator. And then give me Rex Ryan as my defensive coordinator. What do you think?
You got a celebrity wish list going on.
That is a celebrity list.
Look, Frank Reich is interesting. Did we bring that to air yesterday, or did you just say that in my ear, Sean? I feel like Frank Reich, who...
No, you mentioned it. We talked briefly about it.
Right, so he's had success as a head coach, and... He's a good offensive mind, and his last stint, we can't judge, really his last two, because when he was in Indianapolis, it was quarterback rotation every single year, right? They went from to Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan to I forgot who else was in that conversation. They couldn't find any stability, so they ultimately fired him. And then he takes the job immediately without taking a year off and goes to Carolina, who had a rookie quarterback.
And it felt like they were not on the same page.
No, not at all. I almost feel like he didn't even want. He would have preferred to bring in one of the veterans that was available, either free agency or trade. But he struggled coaching the rookie because it's just not his skill set.
Well, would he struggle coaching a young quarterback like Jackson Dart? Not going to be a rookie next year, but yeah, close to it.
I feel like Jackson Dart is coach proof.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We've talked about this a couple of times, but he's such a gamer that it doesn't matter, right, that you haven't developed a quarterback, this cliche that's become paramount to deciding if you're a good coach or not. Jackson Dart is a gamer. He'll figure it out.
Frank Reich has done something. I feel bad saying this, but I think he's the only person to ever accomplish this. He got fired in the middle of a season in back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Think about that. He coached Indianapolis, got fired, end of a decent run with Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Immediately takes the Carolina job and doesn't finish that season.
Was he at the end of who was his first quarterback? No, I'm forgetting.
I think it was Andrew Luck.
So he was quarterback.
Yes, he quarterbacked Andrew Luck in 2018. They went 10-6 that season.
Right.
And they made the postseason, won a playoff game, and lost to the Chiefs.
And then Andrew Luck abruptly retired, and he ended up having to start Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, so the following year, Jacoby Brissett started 15 of 16 games with Brian Hoyer starting one of them. So he got 1 year of Andrew Luck, had success.
1 year Brissett.
Then 2 years later in 2020, they actually won 11 games, and his quarterback that year was Phillip Rivers.
Right.
And you mentioned he went on that quarterback veteran search, if you will.
Right. Then the next year, it was Carson Wentz. And then the year after that, it was Matt Ryan, right? And then he got fired midway through the season, and Jeff Saturday took over.
Yeah.
I mean, who the hell is winning with that
no, it's
rotation of quarterback instability.
It's interesting. Like, I would almost look at, you said it about Carolina, I'd throw that year out. It did not work.
It was clearly a mismatch as soon as they drafted Bryce Young. Didn't make any sense.
All right, Scott Boras met the media, and Scott said a lot. He made a lot of his jokes, but, you know, forget the jokes for a second. Let's hear about the clients we care about, because remember, Scott Boras represents Pete Alonso and Cody Bellinger. I think most Met fans really, really, really want Pete Alonso back. Yankee fans, it seems universal, want Cody Bellinger back. So we'll see if Scott gives us any hint. Let's go to the Scott Boras news desk with Sean Morash. Scott. I mean, Sean.
Yeah.
I call him Scott.
Okay, so we're going to go through a couple answers surrounding Pete Alonso here and just, you know, in typical Scott Boras fashion, like you said, pierce through. I've already had it because he's doing a lot of alliteration, but let's just take it away. First, on meeting with Steve Cohen and David Stearns.
You know, I've met with David and Steve, and again, they're just really, really excited about the year that Pete had. Pete, in his own... Again, the guy is such a worker. He made biomechanical adjustments from 24 to 25, which proved to be highly rewarding for him. The metrics that most teams look at were grandly improved. And so he really understands how to consistently take a bat and perform. And I think that's a credit to him for all of his work in the off season to achieve that.
Okay. Now,
biomechanical.
That was
biomechanical
all,
improvements.
Yeah.
That was all on field stuff. And then Scott Boras made sure to make Pete Alonso sound like he's Mr. Everything here in New York, which, you know, for many parts he is. But here you go.
Pete has been a lifetime Met. And obviously, when he reflects on his career, it's all he has to look to. The one thing I think Pete understands that playing in New York is not something most can do. To become a star-level player in New York, even fewer can do it. And so I think the New York fans recognize it, and they've been very, very outward and appreciative of him. He and Haley's involvement in the community has been received so well. He's, in so many ways, from a production, middle of the lineup, you know, he's an ideal franchise player, plays every day. And it's clear that the New York fans relate to somebody who is workmanlike, who is what Pete is. You know, when I use the term pachydermium-like, I mean, he is the elephant that goes out there every day. He is impenetrable. and he really knows how to manage the pressure of that situation. So I think... it's something he's very proud of because of the fact that so few have achieved that standing.
Scott Boras believes the New York Mets would be the team to pay Pete Alonso the most money. That's what that comment tells me.
Right.
All about New York, New York, New York. And I think he knows that value from the fan pressure, from his attachment here. It's not that Scott's loyal to New York or loyal to the Mets. It has nothing to do with that. He looks at the market and still thinks the Mets maybe the team to value him the most.
He also kind of mimed a little bit of what David Stearns was saying yesterday about the things that they were going to value. Obviously, production, becoming a star, playing in New York, but also the community involvement.
He did, yeah.
That agent is not stupid.
No. And, like, I'm not saying that this means I'm more confident he's going to remain a Met. I think Scott, because the market hasn't developed. Who knows what the market's going to be? I mean, all you need is one team to say, here's 7 years and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that answer makes me think that going into this process, Scott believes the Mets need him the most.
I just hope that Pete takes more control this year than last year over what his agent is saying and what his agent is dictating, because there's a good chance that he is going to get a better offer someplace else.
And then it's up to him on if he wants to make the jump or not.
And so is it up? Who is it ultimately going to be up to? Is it going to be on Scott or is it going to be on Pete Alonso? And so the agent is there for you, obviously.
Agent works for you.
He's going to proselytize for you. He's going to champion, evangelize, make you the greatest thing since sliced bread. But ultimately, Pete's got to have control over the agent as well.
All right, we've covered Pete's offense. We've covered Pete's meaning to New York. I'm going to let you hear back-to-back answers. One on Pete's defense and if Pete would consider being a designated hitter.
This will be interesting.
So two clips you're going to hear. I'm going to fire them off back-to-back.
Go.
And away we go.
I, you know, when you look at the number of first basemen that can play 100 games, well, you'd have to rank Pete right up there in the top seven or eight, because there aren't many first basemen that can play first base and keep the position. They just don't want to play people there. You know, forgive the pun, but it's become a platoon, except for Pete. You know,
well, I don't get it. What's the pun?
Become a platoon?
It's become a platoon except for Pete. And anyhow, what about the DH stuff?
How open is Pete Alonso to DHing if he goes back to the Mets? Is that something he would consider?
I think Pete, at this point in his career, he's about winning, no doubt. Had that question a lot. There's no doubt that Pete's pursuers are primed to pay the power piper. You know, Pete picked a perfect period to play preeminently at a primary position. A playoff parched plethora will pounce to participate in the polar plunge.
What the hell? Did he do that off the top of his head?
Yeah. It sounded like it.
I think so.
Maybe he made it sound like.
Here's what.
I'm still confused on the platoon thing.
Yeah, I think
the only thing I can think about is he's referring to the movie.
No. Oh.
The Oliver Stone movie.
Okay.
I don't get it.
I think he is saying, and I feel confident about this, pay him the most money, he'll do what you want. Mm. You want him to DH? Whatever.
Right.
Give him the most money, and he's a winner, and he'll do whatever is asked of him.
Well, great. Okay. Now we pivot to pinstripes, and I can't even do it.
You're trying to copy, Scott? You can't even get through two words.
I couldn't. He's got me bumbling and stumbling. All right, so...
Bumbling and stumbling.
First, Scott Boras's thoughts on what the Yankees are looking to do this offseason.
I think the Yankees are looking to improve, not subtract. And so, since Grisham and Bellinger were both on the team last year, I would say that... Bellinger is kind of a... His placement among the outfielders is that he has a particularly after being an MVP, he has a 3-year track record of consistency, power, and elite performance. And all of us who watch him play, the accuracy of his throws, his base running, he's really a five-tool player. We just don't find many athletes like that there. And then also proven in every major market.
Have the Yankees made it clear to you that bringing him back is a priority for them?
We've had discussions, and I'll let them talk about what they felt was most important.
Who asked that question?
I don't know.
I love how he continued the alliteration.
Yeah.
Because even in the book Bellinger, he kept with the P's.
He did.
They weren't as perfectly placed. But
you take an answer out of that about Cody Bellinger?
I think he's really pumping up, going with the 5.
Yeah,
thing.
I mean,
I really don't.
He played in L.A., Chicago, New York,
yeah,
right?
Like,
I mean,
he's saying stuff that I think every Yankee fan and probably the Yankees would agree with, but it's just going to come down to money. Okay, we're all going to do this together. I went through and I listened to all the Pete. I listened to that answer. What I'm about to hit the play button on just simply reads, Boras, the future of Bellinger, and it is 2 minutes long. We're putting on our blinders.
2 minutes?
What do you want me to do?
We got to hear him babble for 2 minutes.
You know what? How about this? You want me to fade it down? They want me to fade it down.
Yeah.
But this is the last on Bellinger.
Let's start it, and once we're bored. Right.
This will have a pernicious effect on us.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Let's go. Let's do this together.
All right.
When you look at 25, season 25, I'd say among all the free agent outfielders, he was the top gun of the class. You know? He was... defensively, a versatile viper.
He's losing his fastball.
Playing both first base and all three outfield positions.
He barely played first base.
And
stop.
He was kind of offensively a middle lineup Merlin in the sense that he felt that.
Shut up.
You know, providing power and production. The other thing about Belly that's kind of unique for a guy his age, under 30, that, you know, he's played in all three markets. L.A., Chicago, New York. And so really, in many ways, he's an urban maverick, without a doubt. So I think that...
He's an urban maverick.
When you...
What does that mean?
Think about...
I don't know.
What he's done... In an L.A. market, he...
All right, you know what? Enough. Kind of I mean, seriously, enough.
Urban
First of all,
Maverick.
He played 7 games at first base last year.
Yeah.
So to act like, oh, he played first base. He played 7 games at first base. Mm.
But he can't. He can play first.
He can. Oh, absolutely. Look, I think with the Yankees, he is not going to play a lot of first base. I think Ben Rice is going to get that opportunity. I think with the Yankees, he's probably playing like center field.
Yeah.
I think the Mets, who are now linked to him, it depends. If Pete isn't back, then Cody Bellinger may well be the first baseman. Or he could fill that role we described the other day where he plays a lot of left, a lot of center, a lot of first.
How weird is this that Pete Alonso wants to be a Met, but his agent might also want Cody Bellinger to be a Met?
Well, I think this is on a player. When you have an agent that represents so many big-time players, there's naturally going to be a conflict of interest.
This feels like a conflict of interest is going to arise.
And I think that if you're Pete Alonso, you kind of know that when you hire him.
Yeah,
you know that there's going to be free agencies where, for the betterment of Scott Boras, like, for example, it could actually screw Cody Bellinger. Hear me out on this. Scott probably knows the team that needs Pete the most is the Mets. Mm. The fan attachment, the history, all of that. So he may want to keep Cody Bellinger away from the Mets because he knows the most money I'm going to get for Pete may come out of the Mets. And so I don't want Cody to sign with the Mets, which may make them less likelier to pay Pete Alonso. So that's, you know whose problem that is? That's a Cody Bellinger, Pete Alonso problem. When they hired their agent, that's on them to make that decision.
Right.
But we sit here as independent observers, IAOs, independent agent observers, and we see this and say, that could be a conflict of interest.
Yeah, it feels like it's a conflict of interest. It probably won't come down to that unless this thing really drags out and both of those guys are not signed yet, and it becomes, all right, we got a first baseman. One's going to be more expensive than the other, in theory, and there's only a limited number of stops for both of them to get to. And, I mean, these guys are not going to be on teams next year, but at the same time, it feels like a bad conflict of interest. It potentially is going to be a problem.
Brian Cashman met the media at the GM meetings. Now, what's interesting about Brian Cashman is he's actually not there. It's all via Zoom. Now, Yankee fans, calm down. I don't think it's a big deal that he's not at the general manager meetings. He has plenty of underlings that will be there. And also, phones exist. So he is still able to talk shop with other general managers. So I want to just let the Yankee fan know, to quote a wise man, no biggie.
Yeah, plus he needs to be at the owner's meetings. He's basically the owner of the Yankees at this point.
That's fair enough as well. So let's send it to the Brian Cashman desk and hear what he had to say, see if we learn anything new about the Yankees' plans for this upcoming offseason. Let's go to the Yankee desk with Sean Morash.
Speaking of ownership, do you have a hard and set payroll number from the Steinbrenners?
Okay, great.
Cash, it's been reported that Hal would like to drop payroll below $300 million. Is that your understanding of where you guys are at?
I don't know if that's where we're at. I know that, we are always fluid with our payroll situation. And out of all the things that we have here, the organization, payroll usually is not an issue that we've had to deal with much of. They've always been supportive. So I think payroll it's always obviously something we play with, but we're pretty strongly invested. But what an ultimate payroll number is going to be, I haven't gotten that from Hal Steinbrenner.
Yeah, right now, and it's all estimated, it looks like their commitments, including arbitration-eligible players, is about 240.
Yeah.
So if you believe a report like that they got to stay under 300, they have about $50 to $60 million to spend. Look, Hal has always been honest about this. He would rather not pay a luxury tax, but he does.
Yeah, of
course. So I don't think this is ever new. I think we go into every offseason with that wonder. There's never been a hard, fast rule, though. Now, maybe they don't spend as much as some Yankee fans want them to spend, but they're going to get close to that number, and sometimes they will pass that number.
Okay, on the Yankees' interest in bringing back Cody Bellinger.
Hey, Brian, do you view bringing back Cody Bellinger as your top priority this offseason?
I mean, we're very interested in bringing him back. You know, obviously now that he's a free agent, you know, he's going to have a lot of choices, you know, because he can do a lot of different things. So he was a terrific addition for us last year, played a big role in the amount of success we wound up having, and certainly would love to have him come back to us. Where discussions with us, as well as, you know, with others because, you know, Scott Boras is out having the conversations as he always would. Remains to be seen, but, you know, he certainly, we'd be better served if we could retain him. But if not, then we'll have to look at, alternatives, ways to fill it and see where that takes us. But it's pretty early in the process, but I said it before and I'll say it again. Of course, we'd like to have him back.
How'd you read that comment from Cash?
Yeah, I think he's basically saying this is in Scott Boras's hands, that we're not going to let him overpay for, or let the team overpay for him, because, you know, that's what he wants. So it's just a negotiating tactic that really isn't saying anything at all.
One thing I'm surprised about is I get the sense as we begin these GM meetings, the Yankees are not really involved in Kyle Tucker. And a year ago, that seemed like such an obvious guy to go after.
Right.
And it feels like they're not really going to be in that edge of the market.
Especially with all the money.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking about that, so if they're interested in Cody Bellinger, you said they're not relying on that. How about Ben Rice on this team next year? Big question mark.
You Ben Rice as your everyday first baseman, or is that a position that you feel like you need to fortify at all?
He very well could be. I view Ben Rice as having an everyday role in the big leagues for us next year, whether it's first, right now the lane is first base. You know, I have no doubt teams will continue to come after our players, Rice included, for trade conversations, but as right now, yeah, he's in our lineup, and the more likely spot would be first base. But he can catch as well. I have Wells as our catcher and him at first, but again, you never know how the winds of change blow here every winter. And there'll be challenge trades made to us or by us, and most will lead nowhere. With one team insulting the other, vice versa. So more likely than not, I've seen him at first base, without a doubt. We're really proud of the season he just had. Like he's always hit, and he continued to back that up, and he had a huge impact. For us, thankfully, this year, especially when Stan went down, he really filled in for, created that, or softened that blow significantly by being, Stanton in Stan's absence for a period of time, and then obviously forced his way into the lineup on an everyday basis the rest of the way, and has forced his way into our future on an everyday basis. So I'd say most likely his first base because we have Wells at catching.
I like how he put him over a little bit.
Oh yeah,
wasn't excessive praise, but he did put him over a little bit. He's there for the future.
He's the first baseman,
right?
I mean, everything's in pencil because things can change based on the offseason. Right.
I love teams are gonna whatever he said about trading and then say bad things about each other.
Right. Well, that's right. Like that's just like fantasy sports. It's the same thing. Like what an insulting offer that was.
I know.
He's always got to start off with an offer on something. But yeah, Ben Rice is going to be their first baseman. That's how I take that answer.
Okay, so when Brian Cashman joined Evan and I that day, he brought up the Derek Jeter, A-Rod comments and everything that goes in the dugout and the feeding line. So Aaron Boone followed it up by saying that the Yankees were the least analytical team in the AL.
Yeah, so it's funny. You talk about commenting on comments on comments. This all started with Jeter and A-Rod making comments about Cashman, Boone, and analytics. We asked Brian about it, who then made comments about Jeter and A-Rod. John Boy then asked Boone about the comments Cashman made, and Aaron Boone, in the course of answering that, said, we're actually one of the least analytical teams in our own division.
Yeah.
That was his answer.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's funny.
To admit.
So Aaron said, you can take this however you want. Some are going to take this as a good thing. Some are going to take this as a bad thing. And he's 100% right. It's all about perspective on if that's a good thing or bad thing. But Aaron still said it. And so now Cashman is being asked about what Boone said.
Exactly. So this game continues, and here is Brian Cashman.
Aaron Boone made a comment on a podcast saying that the Yankees were the least analytical team with in-game decisions in the AL East. Is that how you view that, and is that a good thing in your opinion, if that is true?
Well, I know that's how we've been clearly accused of being too analytical. And despite analytics is a big spoke in the wheel, but it's not the only spoke in the wheel. We have the largest pro scouting department in the game, which we rely heavily on as well. And I just think he's trying to, bring the fans into the dugout you know, with the commentary constantly about, you know, the front office is pulling the strings and every move seems to be the analytic department telling him what to do and everything's pre-scripted. None of that's true. So I think he was trying to, it sounds like that was just him defending. If you look around the league or the American League East, especially this is his defense, you know, we're not wired in the dugout. So I don't know what goes into his decisions when, because they're split decisions. You have to make these decisions, pull a pitch or stay with a starter, pinch hit for a guy, run a guy, whatever. And ultimately he sees how the other teams have platoon advantages and they exploit them, you know, 24/7. That's what they do. You know, he would be more apt at times to lean into defying a platoon split if, you know, if it's a veteran oriented player and, you know, that you signed here or you've had here for a while and play the long game. You'll see him maybe in the playoffs do it a little bit differently at times. But I think that was his answer to the question of being constantly challenged, of being accused of being a puppet and running, you know, a show that's not designed by him. And that was his answer, you know, which is, you know, and the biggest takeaway is he's making those decisions. And I would agree at times. I mean, he'll definitely make decisions that our analytics department wouldn't agree with, but they're not managing the team.
Perfect.
Sometimes they work out for us to our benefit, and sometimes they don't.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That's, I guess, the best way I can answer that.
It was a perfect way to answer it. Yeah, I mean, Brian Cashman nailed it.
I like that answer. He's direct.
Aaron Boone was going out of his way to defend himself from the criticism that is completely ridiculous that comes on sports talk radio and from the likes of Derek Jeter that he's a puppet. And I'm glad Brian used the word. He's not a puppet. He may not be a good manager. You may not agree with him. I'm not defending him as a manager. I'm defending this made-up notion that he literally gets wired in decisions to make. It's not true, and it gets repeated like it's gospel. And so when Alex Rodriguez or Derek Jeter say it on TV, guys like Sean Morash feel more vindicated, like, see, I told you. No, it's all crap. Cashman gave a perfect answer, and he's right. Boone was, it's like if... Tiki, if everyone criticized me for hating the Yankees, yes. Evan, you hate the Yankees. Evan, you hate the Yankees. And then I was
asked.
You don't
hate the Yankees. You troll the Yankees, but you don't hate them.
Sure. I would go out of my way to over-defend myself by saying, not only do I not hate the Yankees, I like the Yankees more than anybody at WFAN.
Do you hate the Yankees, Evan?
No.
Okay.
But that's what Boone did. Like, instead of just saying, we're not as analytical as you think, he said, I'm going to go above and beyond here. We're the least analytical team in the AL East, which may or may not be true, but I think that was a defense mechanism from the criticism that he and the organization faced.
Right. Good for him. Good for Cashman for defending his guy. Because, I mean, they're stuck together.
Well, they're stuck together until Brian Cashman says he's done with them.
Right, but they're stuck together.
Yeah, all Brian Cashman's doing, if any of this is true, is showing that Aaron Boone's actually a terrible manager, but that's neither here nor there.
Shut up, Tubby.
I'm not arguing that one way or the other. I'm arguing the idea that the notion he's a puppet is not true.
Okay.
That doesn't mean he's a great manager.
I think they're saying too much now. I think that they're taking the wired into the dugout thing. Nobody thinks they're literally getting phone calls from the dugout. I think that's like an exaggerated.
I actually think some people do think that.
They do. Thank you, Tim.
Okay. Not you, Sean, but I do think some people believe that that's what's happening.
See, here's the problem with people like Sean. You talk a big freaking game for years. You spew lies about how they're puppets.
No, I think the analytic department. No, it's not a lie.
So now when they finally decide to call you guys out.
Call me out. Cashman's full of crap here.
He's not full of crap.
First of all, he's already said last offseason about their analytic department and what they go over. They gave us the breadcrumbs. In baseball now, they are over pregame and all that stuff going over a million things. Now, he's right. Aaron Boone ultimately has to make the decisions and everything.
Split-second decisions.
But I do believe that Aaron Boone, the majority of his decisions are based off stuff that they went over in a binder before a game. Yeah, I think that's people's fault.
But that's also a philosophy that he lives by. And by any fair measure, he's successful at it. I mean, he's in the World Series a season ago. He's consistently in the playoffs, say, for one season. And so... it works for him. Now, it's not getting them to a championship ultimately, but he's consistently there. And if you think about this from Aaron Boone's standpoint, if what you're doing is working to get you where you ultimately need to be, which is the second season of Major League Baseball, why would you all of a sudden just say, oh, I'm going to play this by gut because I looked into whoever's eyes and I believed he was going to hit in this situation despite the wrong lefty-righty matchup? I mean you got to give Aaron Boone some credit to his process.
Well, I don't blame Boone for that.
No, you're mad that he uses information to make decisions. But that's what you're mad at, which is hilarious.
Because we have an 8-year time frame of knowing that, okay, they already have a jump start on payroll than most of Major League Baseball, and they're getting to the playoffs, and the closest they've done is one World Series appearance.
That's fine. Your argument before was, I can't believe this guy gets information and then helps use it to make a decision later in the night. That's called being smart. Right. Tony La Russa did that. Like, what's wrong with having information when you make a decision?
Because it's an overabundance of information taken away from gut. But that's okay. That's not what we're here for. That's fine.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Okay, so you could choose to hear one, both, or neither. I will just give you the preface. You guys decide. He is asked about the Yankees being too home run reliant, and he's asked about George Lombard Jr. next year.
I want to hear about Lombard.
Okay, let's go with that.
Severe high ceiling talent, which George Lombard.
And after the year that Lombard had, how far off do you see him?
It's hard to say. You know, doing this job for as long as I have, usually players that possess some severe high ceiling talent, which George Lombard has. Once it comes together, all together, it can come really fast. It's just an avalanche of success at instant ready. And so he could be coming on strong as early as next year, or he might need some more time. The game will tell us. you know, more than anything else. So, you know, defensively, he's ready to go. And offensively, you know, looks like he needs more time. And, you know, we're looking to provide that time and and those reps. So I wouldn't think 26 is on the horizon, but I wouldn't, you know, rule at some point out in 26 at the same time, because, you know, you saw what happened with Spencer Jones last year where he just started to tear through.
Yeah, but he didn't make
well, all levels that he hit. And and once it starts coming together, you know, there's no stopping a lot of these guys. So other than somebody legitimately standing in front of them at the major league level. So
okay,
that's a fair answer.
So we'll see.
That's a fair answer.
That's the blocking of Spencer Jones, because you can't use Spencer Jones as an example. You never called him up.
Right, that's a good point. Thank you, SNY. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
I think when you look at where Lombard is 20 and last year got to Double-A and didn't hit in Double-A, I think that, yeah, he'll probably start the year in Double-A, and if he hits a ton, could end up in Triple-A by June.
Yep.
And best-case scenario, Major Leagues, August, September. I think the more realistic scenario is 2027.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly acceptable. Do you want the other answer or not?
What was the question?
It was about whether the public is wrong for saying they're too home run reliant.
Yes, because...
Because they are?
Well...
No, I mean, they are, but they...
They are, but they aren't, because the formula to winning is by hitting a lot of home runs. I mean, we even saw it in the postseason. If you out-homer your opponent,
right,
you tend to win.
Exactly.
So it's... Yeah, you don't want to be overly reliant on only scoring runs by home runs, but the more home runs you hit, the better chance you have of winning. So,
and they had the best record tied for in the American League.
They did. They had the best record in the American League, and they hit more home runs than anybody else. So, yes, I'd like to hear Brian's answer to that.
There's also been a lot of talk all year about the Blue Jays and their contact rates, their lack of strikeouts. What do you feel like the public is missing when it comes to the whole quantity of contact versus, you know, striking out more? Because a lot of times you guys get accused of having high strikeout rates and being too home run reliant.
I don't know. I know in the, you're probably having a comment section blown up. I'm not playing around in the public sphere. I mean, my focus solely is going to be constantly trying to improve on what either, hey, whoever we have, you know, try to improve their contact quality. You know, that's our hitting coach's job, is to obviously, you know, my job is to make sure our strengths remain our strengths and shore up our areas of weakness. Our specialty coaches, with the personnel they're provided, you know, try to drive that on base percentage, that batting average, that slug to the highest levels possible, and limit the strikeouts and the double plays, you know, on the you know, hitting side. So, you know, improve the profiles of our current individual hitters or import ones, you know, that, you know, will limit the area that you have some exposure at. And that's sort of that's the trick of the trade a little bit. Like, can you acquire that in the trade market or free agent market? Does those exist currently? And what are the prices to acquire that, and how does it fit? And, you know, and if we can run into all that, great. You know, then hopefully we would improve our club, you know, and then therefore improve our chances. I can't speak to the public narrative stuff. I know that every year things can change. I do know that the team that out-homers the other team in the postseason series always goes on to typically win 90% of the time. So home runs are a good thing, not a bad thing, but strikeouts are a bad thing. Putting the ball in play is a good thing, because a lot can happen, but you don't want to put the ball in play with double plays. So strikeouts are bad. Double plays are bad. everything else is obviously good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Like, I think we all want more contact. Like, it's a good thing, because you put the ball in play, good things can happen.
Especially in the postseason.
But I also think about the way the World Series ended. The World Series ended with Alejandro Kirk hitting a ground ball to shortstop, and it was the easiest 6-3 double play in the history of baseball.
Right.
So wouldn't the Blue Jays have been better off if Kirk struck out? Dumb question, but true. Like, wouldn't even would the Blue Jays not have been better off with them Yankeeing it by not making contact?
How do you say to him, swing for the fences, don't put bat on ball?
Well, look, guys are. I mean, that's the thing. Like, guys are swinging.
I'm talking about for the Blue Jays.
No, but I think in general, players tend to swing to try to hit the ball in the air. They're not trying to hit ground balls, but unfortunately, it happens. Pitchers are good, and you roll one over, and you bounce into a double play. I think when you lose, and the Yankees lost, you're always looking at the teams who won and say, what do they do that's better than us? We need to be more like that. And the reality is, with the Yankees, it was one more win in the regular season so they could have home field advantage, and B, not have Max Fried make a number two on the mound at Rogers Center. Like, ultimately, an Aaron Judge in the biggest moment strike out on a pitch that was ball four. Like, if those two things occur differently, the Yankees may beat the Blue Jays. The whole series is different. And so when you lose, we overexamine everything. When sometimes, like you said in football, Evan, one little thing can change everything. One little detail can change everything.
Right.
And you're right. Well, it's kind of the same thing about what happened to the New York Yankees. They lost the best of four series, best of five series to the Toronto Blue Jays. Stupid crap happened in game one that if it doesn't happen and they're up 1-0, I don't know. Maybe they win the series.
Right. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over a million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.